My co-authors are Vinay Nandia, who's working at the International Water Management Institute. He was my PhD student. And Prasanna Gowda, who's now with the USDA ARS. He was a senior research associate working with me. The motivation for this study is really to understand why we're getting a lot of nitrate transported to the Gulf of Mexico, and to separate the influences of tile drainage, fertilizer and manure applications, climate. There's a tremendous interest in reducing the nitrate loads to the Gulf of Mexico, and this study is aimed at trying to find out how much we can realistically reduce in the face of some changes in management and climate. There have been significant changes in our precipitation, cropping systems, crop yields, fertilizer application rates, and tile drainage over the last 50 years. So one of the things we have the possibility of doing is studying how nitrate N losses have varied over the last 50 years and what factors have really caused some of those changes. We're going to calibrate and validate a mechanistic model for flow of nitrate. It's called the ADAPT model, in a small watershed in Minnesota called Seven Mile Creek, and then look at the impacts of climate, land use, and management practices on flow and water quality. This is the watershed we studied. It's really divided into about three sub-watersheds. There's monitoring gauge at these two upland areas. Each of these drains about 10,000 acres of land. And the ADAPT model uses transformed hydrologic response units. We calibrated the model using data from 2000 to 2004, or a subportion of that time period, and then validated it on the other years. We also validated on a second watershed. So there is actually two different kinds of validation. And this is just a schematic diagram showing the different soil layers that go into defining the transformed hydrologic response units, soils, topography, management, and then of course there's precipitation that drives all of this. The ADAPT model includes simulation processes for the hydrology, nutrients, erosion, and pesticides. The detailed processes modeled include ET, runoff, infiltration, drainage, snowmelt, and seepage. And it requires physical management practices and weather as input. All of these were obtained using data from the watershed. We looked at a 50-year continuous measured climatic record, and then subdivided the simulation into two different types of approaches. The first was to look at 5 years of measured climatic data centered around 3 years with distinctly different land use and land management characteristics. So 67, 78, and 2001 were our management land use scenario years. And then we did a second set of simulations with 5 years from climate data from 1999 to 2003 with those three land use and management scenarios from 1967, 78, and 2001. So again, here's our two watersheds, SMC1, SMC2. Present day land use and management is dominated by corn and soybean. There's a lot of tile drainage. When we look at just the validation on the uncalibrated watershed, we can see that our predicted discharge matches our measured discharge quite well. We look at nitrate in the validation watershed. Again, there's no calibration on this watershed whatsoever. Again, we're able to predict the discharges of nitrate fairly well. So now we begin to explore what is the effect of different changes in land use and management on flow and on nitrate losses. And if you look at the historical changes in land use, you can see that ag land has increased at the expense of wetlands. You can see that the acreage of soybeans has increased dramatically at the expense of small grains and alfalfa. You can see that from our simulated results, but from measurements of crop yield, we've had tremendous increases in crop yield over the last 50 years, and this has a big impact on evapotranspiration. Nitrogen fertilizer rates on corn have gone up quite a bit. Wheat has also gone up, but it's a minor land use. When we put all these together, we have our land use and management scenarios as well as our climate changes. We see significant increases in nitrate N losses from the watershed, going from about 15 kilograms per hectare to over 35. So the question is, what's really driving these increases? If we look at simply that same slide of discharge and how it increases over time as a function of the climatic record, we see that climate is getting wetter over the same time period, about a 40% increase in precipitation and a 245% increase in discharge. So does that mean that climate is actually causing the increase in discharge, or is it something else, like the changes in density of tile drainage? Climatic variability also could be having an impact on nitrate losses. You see that there's about 185% increase in nitrate losses over this time period. So the way we've chosen to attack this is to look at, like I say, three time points where we have different management, and look at the discharge over those times. We see that it is increasing. But if we take out the climate effect by looking at the same climate scenarios for these three management time periods, in other words, using the recent wetter climate precipitation patterns for 67, 78, and 2001 management conditions, we see that there would have actually been a decrease in discharge, mainly because of the increases in crop yield over this time period, and the increased ET and decreased runoff and tile drainage. So these are quite significant decreases in discharge. When we look at nitrogen, it's a little bit more complicated. Here are the predicted increases in nitrate N losses where you have combinations of climate and management. And the right-hand bars show the types of changes that would have occurred if you looked at only management impacts with uniform climate scenarios from the more recent and wetter precipitation regimes. We can see that from 67 to 1978, the changes in management caused an 184% increase in nitrate losses. But from 1978 to 2001, there's actually been a 14% predicted decrease in nitrate discharges again, mainly because the climate effects are now overpowering the management effects that occurred earlier. So our climate has become much wetter in the last 50 years, and this has undoubtedly had an impact on discharge and nitrate N losses from the watershed. As we go from the 50s through the present time, there's been increased area of land and ag production, decreased area of wetlands, shifts to a greater proportion of the land in soybeans as opposed to wheat and alfalfa, increases in crop yield, increases in end fertilizer rate, shifts towards conservation tillage, and narrower tile drain spacings. We've done some work to try and separate out the various impacts here, but it's a little bit too much to present in 15 minutes. So the main thing I want to focus in on is the impacts of overall management versus climate. And what we found is that the increasingly wetter climate caused a 70% increase in discharge for management conditions typical of 1967, and a 51% increase for conditions typical of 1978. So if we'd had the present day climate in 1967, we would have seen bigger discharges back then than we actually did, and if we had today's climate back in 1978, we would have had greater discharge then as well. If we again look only at the impacts of management with a constant climate pattern that's typical of our more recent wetter precipitation regimes, there was a 6% increase, a 6% decrease in discharge between 67 and 1978, and a 21% decrease between 78 and 2001. And the large decrease here in the recent decades is due to big increases in crop yield, which have increased ET and decreased runoff and tile drainage. So for constant land use and management conditions, an increasingly wetter climate caused about a 62% increase in nitrate losses between 67 and 2001, and 137% increase between 1978 and 2001. So this is the climate effect. It's very large for nitrogen. If we look at management for a uniform climate condition, the increases in corn acreage and in fertilizer use between 67 and 78 caused nitrate N losses to increase by 184%, so that's rather significant. And for a uniform climate, if we look at just two management scenarios, the increased crop yields between 78 and 2001 caused nitrate losses to actually decrease by 14%. So we're seeing a lot of different kinds of effects here in this watershed, and it's rather representative of much of the upper Midwest. And it drives home the point that watersheds are very complex. The most important factor driving increased nitrate losses between 78 and 2001 was the increasingly wetter climate. The most important factor driving increased nitrate N losses between 67 and 78 was changing land use and management. So we really see two distinct signals here in these two time periods. I'd like to thank the NSF for funding much of our research through an NSF biocomplexity grant. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
It seems to me that the increased nitrate losses from the soil in your study are attributed to enlarged fertilization. In a measurement in a watershed in northern Germany, we found that also the loss, the decrease of organic matter in the soil after plowing of grassland and mineralization of organically bound nitrogen were responsible for a long year increased nitrogen emission. Have you compared it?
Right. Our soils have an organic matter content that averages 6%. In this watershed. So there is a lot of nitrogen that's being mineralized, and our model accounts for that. We did not change the mineralization rate coefficients as we went through this. However, we did simulate the effects of changing cropping systems on soil hydraulic properties. So that effect was taken into account, but that's a good suggestion that maybe we should look at in the future.
Any more questions?
Yeah, the effect of the cropping on runoff that you were modeling was strictly through evapotranspiration, is that correct?
No, we also accounted for changes in soil hydraulic conductivity because with a lot of the perennial crops, there's better infiltration, a better soil structure.
Okay.
But the change in crop yield was the major impact.
I guess, well, my point was, probably what that's going to do is probably going to give you a pretty good handle on average fluxes with base flows, but it's not going to really, that effect is not going to get carried over into the storm flows where a lot of the nutrients and certainly the sediment bound nutrients are being transported. So it's going to give you a pretty good idea about what's happening during kind of base flow conditions, but I don't think people are quite getting a handle on what's happening during these pulses of storm flows.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of nutrients really get flushed through the system. In fact, most people don't even sample at those times.
Yeah. We focused only on nitrate. I mean, so for this particular watershed, about 50 to 60% of the nitrate is actually transported in base flow. And there's not much overland transport of nitrate in because it's a heavily tile-drained watershed. So the main effect of the increased crop yield is on antecedent moisture contents before these large storms, which allows the soil to you know, dampen out the runoff signal that you would normally see. And so that's probably where most of this effect is coming from. I think that your comment is very well taken. If we were going to be looking at sediment and phosphorus, we would really need to look at that, the peak flows in that case. Thank you.